Hello everyone, and this is Raving Rendo. I'll get Jake here going in a minute. I'm a bit off today because this is not the time that I'm normally on. For me, right now it's 4 o'clock. In Washington, it's 2 o'clock, which is what I'm used to. So here's Jake. We'll get him going here for a minute.
Trust me.
Now it's official. This is Rendell's Ravings, and Raving Rendell here on the 19th of July. It is very nice where I am right. Well, it's kind of cloudy, but it's nice where I am because it's nice and quiet. I'm in Minnesota right now, in Mankato. If any of you live in Minnesota, which, if you are, you aren't downloading from Minnesota. That much is obvious, because that's not where my little map shows you. So, we are just kind of kicking back lately. I've been just kind of seeing what I can do. I've been helping my folks. We've gone up and spent some time up in Bacchus, and I'll talk about that. Whoa. Okay, there we go. Huh. For some odd reason. Oh, okay, I was looking at the wrong one. I was like, wait a minute. I'm talking and the little bar ain't moving. That's not good. Yes, I am on Rizzo Radio. I am not on Pulse Radio, because, quite frankly, nothing wrong with the people at Pulse Radio, it's just I never hear from them. So, I'm going to go and I'm going to be on a thing that I know people at. And Gaz is on this one, I see, so hey, you know, it's all good. But, yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm sorry I missed last week, but last week I had only been in home, I had only been off the train a day, and it was really, usually I'll have a day or two of almost like travel lag, or jet lag, and I didn't have my, it was kind of travel-like, because last Monday, I was up at Bacchus. See, so far, catching you up, after I did my little Rendell's Ravings, and that day, I went and I hopped on Amtrak and started my trip out to Minnesota. Well, that was not a short trip. That's a 32-hour trip going over, or it's like 30, 32 and 34 because you gain a couple hours going back. But it was really, it's a really long trip. If you don't have to make it, I don't suggest you make it, just because it's not really fun. Yeah, I can spell. Catching up on things with my vacation. So, traveling on Amtrak. And traveling on Amtrak is really, it's getting a lot easier for me. Because I think it's just one of those things that after a while, if you do it enough, doesn't matter how long it takes, you're used to it. And that is more than fine with me. So, I did get to meet somebody really cool. His name is Keith Bear. And there will be a link to his site here. He, works with Amtrak and some people in North Dakota to come on and do talks, you know, play music. He's a flute player, a Native American flute player. And I heard him talking, and as I went up, you know, went up on the observation deck one time because they were starting to get ready to get off, I ran into him. He was sitting there at the, they have a little, on the lounge car, they have an observation car on top, and then they have a little lounge, it's kind of like a snack bar down the bottom. And he was talking to somebody on, up on the observation deck. They have a very teeny snack bar, but it's one if you don't want to go downstairs. And he was talking to a couple of people on that. Well, then he said, I, you know, wanted to say hi, and we start and say thanks, and we just got to talking. And it was really, really cool. He mentioned that a colleague of Richard Strawn, who I know, and in fact is my mom and dad's neighbor, he knew somebody who worked with him, a lady who worked with him. So, because when I mentioned that, I'm like, oh, because she worked in the anthropology department. And I said, well, I knew somebody in that, you know, Richard Strawn, and I lived next to him. He's like, well, small world, I know that name. So that was really cool. That was really cool because I'm usually in a situation where I don't meet people that much. So, it's just kind of, it's one of those things that I'm really glad that I got to do because I really had fun meeting somebody like him. It's not often I get that chance. So I was able to do it this time, and that was something I'm going to remember. So he's on Facebook. I just found him on Facebook, but there's a link to the page on under contact on the page I'll be linking to. So that will be something I'm hoping that I'll be able to keep in touch or follow him. You never know, hopefully. That's about it about Keith. But yeah, after I got off there, then I met my dad somebody, I cannot remember his name right now, and I'm so sorry. Kelly was one I met on there, and then this guy, there was a guy who was on there when I got on in Wenatchee coming from Seattle, and very nice guy. He fixed my camera for me. So my camera loads, and I've been taking pictures with that. Dad is out now getting batteries for it. But I met Dad at Amtrak. We went and had breakfast with Laura and her kids at IHOP. I had never been at IHOP before, and that was quite a thing. So now I can say I've eaten at IHOP. Pancakes there are very good. I had a breakfast sampler, which was a couple of slices of, couple of triangles of ham, some sausage links, hash browns. I don't think there was toast, but what is there? Was something else there too? I think, and then a couple of buttermilk pancakes and delicious food. If you've got an IHOP and you haven't tried it and you like that kind of food, I would suggest you go for it, because I think you'd probably enjoy it a lot. But we've also got, I'm going to play this for my break here. We went down, came down to Mankato, and I rested a couple of days, and then Monday we went up to Bacchus. And that is I'm not going to lie, it's not the major population center you'd probably be used to. But it is a nice little area. And I think the population was just a little over 300. Between 300 and 400 people. It's a resort town. We stayed at the Bayside Cabins, which you can find online. I'll put that in the notes so I can link to their site. But they had really, really nice cabins there. It was a three-bedroom cabin, and then they had a fold-out couch, which is where I slept. They did have DSL. It wasn't very strong. It was only a 2 or 3 bar DSL. But it was good enough, you know, let us do what we wanted. And then we had, cable. We had expanded digital cable. So we got to watch some TV. Monday we settled in. Tuesday we went over to Pine River, which is one of the nearest places. They have some thrift shops and they have some antique stores. And I think I bought a couple of things. In fact, I know I did. I got a little blue and white ceramic cats who were salt and pepper shakers. Then what else did I get? I got something else there too. Cannot remember what else I got. But I got a couple of things over there. Can't remember what we did Wednesday. I don't remember that we did much of anything. Thursday, me and Jerry Hiddle and Dad went out fishing on the lake, and I got horribly sunburned. And I'm still very sunburned. So, I'm hoping to be okay by the time the wedding comes around this weekend. I was talking to Angela, and she mentioned getting some aloe vera lotion, so, and which would help, because I really, my legs, my arms got sunburned, but they're already lightened up. Well, one is getting lightened up, the other one's okay, but what got it was my right leg, right under where the shorts were, down to the base of my knee, are sunburned red. And, oh, Jesus, does that hurt. That really hurts. So, I'm not doing too good in that right now. Actually, you know what? I don't think I'll be going that long. This is not going to be probably much more than an hour, just because I've not had a very eventful week, and I haven't, because I've been on vacation, I've been looking at the news. So, you know, you'll just have to take what I can give you this week. It may be that I end up going back at this point to a one-hour session. Or one-hour show, but hey, you know what? That's fine with me. Oh, no, wait a minute. Why was that showing? That was my response. What the hell did it be showing me my own response for? But, yeah, it's really bad. We've been putting, you know, spray on suntan lotion, and I'm just like, okay, it's neat, but that isn't what I need. So I'm looking forward to seeing if I can get something done with getting some aloe vera lotion. But aside from that, Thursday night we had a bonfire, and we had No Name, which is a brand, No Name Salmon, which very good, and we also had steak, and I had a little bit of both, and just wonderful stuff. Laura also, bless her soul, she did a lot of the cooking. She made a homemade pizza. made the dough, made the pizza sauce, and it was delicious. I need to get that recipe. But Jerry came over, Jerry and Anna, who's his granddaughter, and his wife Mary, came over and ate with us, and then we had a bonfire. Well, Jerry has gotten into something called geocaching. Sorry, trying to update this as I go. I didn't, like I said, I got thrown off, so I'm not really all set up here. But geocaching is a wonderful little thing. It's a neat way to kill some time. Basically what you do is you go and you take your GPS meter. If you don't have one, they do have a $60 meter. It costs you about $80 to get up on it through the site, but it's worth it. I mean, I can't do it right now, but I'd like to. Basically, what you do is you log on, or you get your stuff. You go. Well, okay. I'm going to make it simple, because I was trying to explain it, and I was getting, my mind was just like, yo, you're being too technical, shut the fuck up and give it the easy version. Okay, easy version, you go on the site, you type in your zip code, or if you're in a, you know, like Berlin or whatever, you type in Berlin, you know, and the thing, and what will happen is you'll get a map, and it'll be little flags. And those flags, what people have done, is they've hidden things around your area. And they'll give you a, when you click on it, it will give you a coordinate that you can download into your, that you can download onto your GPS system. Then you find them. And basically, if you don't have GPS, S system, and I'll look it up here because they got a resources link. Guide, where did it? Oh, shop for gear. GPS and starter kits. And what they have is they've got a GPS, it's called GeoMate Junior, starting at $70, but it's a handheld GPS system, and it's powered by two AAA batteries, something you'd obviously probably want to get rechargeable batteries for. But family friendly, comes preloaded with approximately 250,000 geocache locations covering all 50 U.S. states. Simply turn on the unit, it will navigate you to your current location's closest geocache. Hit the next button and it will provide you, and I don't know how you delete them. Along with cache location, also provides important information like size, and because geocaches can be various sizes, terrain, difficulty rating, and the GC code for each cache. I'm not gonna lie, I don't really know what all that means. Allows you to set a home waypoint, which it can guide you back. Displays compass heading, latitude and longitude. Visit log allows you to mark geocaches and review them later. So you, okay, I guess you just mark them. With new caches being created all the time, an optional update kit, which is $25, allows you to add all the newest caches to the GeoMate Junior database. And basically what it is, it's a USB cable. And you plug it in, and you just, it's like a flash. It flashes the memory. And access to traditional geocache locations in the U.S., so, if you're a you don't get the premium member stuff, but still, you know, that's a lot of places. And there were over 1 million worldwide geocache locations right now. So I signed up. There is also something through there called Wayfinder, which anybody can get into. And I strongly suggest if you're kind of skittish on getting into geocaching so soon, start with Wayfinder, because you don't need a GPS for it. Wayfinder is like, okay, you know, here's your town's museum, you know, and here, if they really want to be silly, they'll give you the GPS to the museum. But then you just go to the museum and you click it. Okay, I've been to the museum. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to have, because that is something that if you're not too sure about, then, you know, you can go and you can check things out. You know, you can try it by yourself on an easier thing. It's called waymarking. What did I put down? Wayfinder, so we'll put waymarking. And if you sign up for waymarking.com, you also are signed into Neo Geocaching. It's all under a banner site called Groundspeak. But even let's find waymarks near Mankato's area code of 56001. And I can already tell you, one of the things that's going to be is the Riverside Mall. Well, the Vietnam Memorial, Subway, Lake Crystal for post office. Whoa. There is not much here. Okay, what we've got here is the Vietnam War Memorial, Minnesota State University. We got two for that for some reason. It's by the same person. Oh, there are two of them. And then there's Vietnam Memorial Park. Panera Bread, which again has two different people put it on. And then the Subway. So, you know, here's five things I can go around, and I can just kind of pick them off, and I can also submit things. I'll definitely submit the Riverside Mall. I can't believe that isn't in there. But it's a very neat little thing, and it's an easy way to get into it. If you're not sure if you'd be into driving around or doing that, go with things that are easy to find. Go with the big things, you know, the malls and the shops and whatnot. And you can add things, you know, you could add movie theaters and malls and shoe stores or whatever you want, you know. So, I've got to try one more. Let's try Montevideo. See what Montevideo has. 56265, or if you want to play along. Okay, it's got a couple. Well, no, it's got one. It's got a camper lease. So it's got something at least. Grant Falls time capsule. That would be neat. Let's see that. 1776, 1976, 2076. Located 1 meter below this plaque is a time capsule containing information about this area, which is preserved for the citizens of 2076 AD. The contents are dedicated to all Americans from the citizens of this area of Minnesota. Very nice. Now, there was something else here. What was the other thing I saw? The world's oldest rock in Granite Falls. Let's read the sign here. World's oldest rock, site of some of the oldest exposed rock in the world. Geologists estimate the granite genesis of the granite. I think it's supposed to be genesis. Well, G-N-E-I-S-S. Granite gneiss was formed 3.8 billion years ago. That's impressive. So, you know, that they got some neat little things there. But, yeah, aside from that, then we came on Friday. My sister's friend Bonnie came over, and I met her for a day, and she is a very nice lady. I've friend requested her on Facebook because I'd like to keep in touch with her. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I haven't heard back from her, but she's a very busy person too. She might not be on Facebook all the time like some of us with no life. And then we left. We went up to a little store north in Dallas or something like that. And I got an old comic, an old Vault of Horror comic. It's a Marvel title. I can't remember what it was. I got a couple of those. If you've seen them, they're teeny little yellow books made by Disney with golden binders. I got a couple of those, and then I got a Snoopy light cover that came out in 1965. So that was good. And then we came home and kind of putzed around yesterday. Well, we'll talk more about that because I've got a whole lot more I can talk about. There's no point in talking about it at all right now. Except stupid me, I just cut out the song I was going to play. Oh no, okay, I remember why I did that. We're going to skip a little bit because I don't think we'll be talking too long. So here's Zero Punctuation for the last 2 weeks, No More Heroes 2 and Super Mario Galaxy 2. Must be the age of expansions. And then Uncle Jay with amends. And don't worry, Foamy's coming up. He's just got his own little thing.
As I theorized back in my review of the original No More Heroes, Suda51 is the result of a cloning experiment to create the world's most auteur game designer. Now, the one thing everyone knows about clones is that they suffer from premature aging, but they seem to have licked that problem if Suda51 is any evidence. No More Heroes 2 Desperate Strugglers finally gotten past the border patrol to the PAL territories, and having played through it, I can confidently state that there is absolutely no worry of Suda51 getting more mature. At some point between Namiros 1 and Namiros 2, someone introduced him to the concept of jiggle physics, and thus has begun a friendship to last a lifetime. The fact that all the women in the game wear fetish outfits and are either in love with you or have to be bloodily murdered with your giant throbbing sci-fi memorabilia does feel a little bit backward. I wouldn't usually have a problem, but I thought I'd better express disapproval so I don't get stabbed by Rebecca Mays. No More Heroes 2 returns us to the exploits of Travis Touchdown, a massive nerd who also happens to be the world's greatest swordsman. It's a concept that makes a lot of sense to me. A nerd, after all, is someone who obsesses over something like the cultural impact of gaming or people who criticize same in silly internet videos. But just because you're staying indoors and foregoing female companionship to learn fighting techniques rather than practice Guitar Hero or mop up your watery spunk with your Japanese love pillow doesn't make you any less of a total dweebo spodmeister with the social skills of a nervous bad. Anyway, Travis is thrust back into the fighting tournament when his best friend is murdered, reducing Travis's social circle to 0 plus 1 cat. He starts out at the 50th rank this time, but you skip most of those numbers and pretty much fight the same number of bosses as in Namiros 1. Presumably the 50 ranks thing is in place to stop party poopers saying unhelpful things like, isn't this just exactly the same setup as the first game, but with wobbly chests and a fatter pussy? Well, be silent, party poopers, for things are different. The sandbox has been entirely vacuumed up and replaced with a menu-based transport system, which just goes to show what wavelength Suda51 is on. Traditionally, a sequel is supposed to add features, not delete them. The sandbox in the first game earned some vicious beatings because the city was about as lively as a Saturday night in the International Space Station, but I thought it could have been saved by adding some more exploration mechanics, cars that react amusingly when you plow your bike into them, and maybe not making us traipse back to the job center like a lost lamb every time we wanted to do a minigame, and then traipse all the way to the location of the minigame before gnap gnap rarrrrrg. Simply removing the sandbox element from the game entirely seems a bit lazy, almost childish really. We complain that Suda51's ball was a funny shape and had been kicked through a few dog turds, and now he's picking up his ball and going home, so now no one gets to play ball and his hands smell of dog turds. turd. Nice one. You still have to do odd job minigames to make money, but now, and I hope you're wearing a sturdy belt because you may split your sides, they all take the form of retro 8-bit style games. Ha ha, what a clever ironic joke. A clever ironic joke that gets made about 10 times, and which you'll have plenty of time to enjoy because you need to grind these games to make enough money for the 7 or 8 things in the entire game that are available for purchase. As quirky referential humour, it's all very clever in that Tarantino style of not in retrospect being particularly clever at all, but as a gameplay mechanic it serves as a harsh reminder of why, outside of maybe towns surrounded by wasteland in the outlying district of Eastern Europe, most people don't play with Nesses anymore for the same reason we don't launder clothes by slapping them against rocks. Christ, I don't even remember how we managed to game before the invention of the analog stick. Maybe this was why we were all such pricks when we were kids. Fortunately, having money proves largely unnecessary, but this creates the Red Dead Redemption problem of being more like a box of toys than a coherent game. In this case, a box of ironic retro toys kept on display in the living room of the world's biggest tosser. What all this makes clearer than ever before is that a good percentage of Nemiro's is so much cotton wool, just there to fill the spaces between the central boss fights, before each of which you must clear out a succession of rooms full of generic and incredibly repetitive bad guys, some of whom have stupid amounts of health but are very easily stun-locked, so it's not even a challenge, it's just a delaying tactic, like forcing you to eat 20 dry Jacob's cream crackers before you can have any brie. And Nemiro's 2's concession to difficulty curves is to make these sections longer and longer with each mission. There's one in a car park that I swear doesn't stop spawning baddies until you've killed more people than vitamin E deficiency. The Wiimote controls continue to be about as intuitive and immersive as a swimming pool full of concrete, so let the record show this was the game that made me finally shell out for a classic controller, which are clearly not designed for the larger-handed gentleman. Perhaps there should have been a port for the 360 after all. A hack-and-slash game aimed specifically at gamers being exclusive to the Wii is like a Matisse masterpiece being exclusive to the Etch-a-Sketch. As might reasonably be expected, the boss fights are the best part. Another array of colourful murderers like a cross between Enter the Dragon and Cannonball Run 2, with enough giant robot fights to break up the succession of button-mashing dodge-block combo wrestle with horrible camera routines. There are a couple of fights where you play a different character with a jump ability that's as smooth and controllable as a fat dog on a trampoline, so naturally she has to do some platforming, because after you've jammed a corkscrew through someone's palm, you might as well give it a twist while you're at it. But on the whole, I'm just kind of disappointed by No More Heroes 2. It feels like a holding pattern, adding very little and subtracting a few things too, and I think I preferred Travis when he was an oblivious loser being insulted, manipulated and beaten up by everyone around him, because now he's all famous and desired by women, less lovable cockend, and more cockend who deserves tire iron nasal surgery. I suspect there might be some author insertion wish fulfillment going on. Guess there weren't many titties to be found in Containment Tube 0051. Say Nintendo overused their intellectual property is like saying a parasitic wasp overuses the caterpillar it lays its eggs in, and which its babies will eat away from the inside in a startling allegory for human relationships. Throughout history, Nintendo producing Mario platformers has been as inevitable as genital disease producing strange and worrying fluids, but at least they made an effort to mix up the formula each time. Mario 3 introduced the world map, Mario World introduced a slightly suspect relationship with a shoe-wearing dinosaur, Mario Sunshine introduced copiously weeing on people. So what does Mario Galaxy 2 do that no other Mario game has done before? Well, just one thing. Stagnate. Oh, wait a second, I forgot about New Super Mario Bros. Wii. In that case, fuck all. This is normally the point where I recap the plot, but this time, why don't you all sing along? There are three entities, Mario, Princess Peach and Bowser, the Ego, the Super Ego and the Id. One of these entities kidnaps another and the third has to go in pursuit of them. See if you can figure out which is which. This game made me realise that the plots of many Mario games can be enlivened somewhat by assuming that cake is the Mushroom Kingdom word for sex. The princess invites Mario over for some cake, but Bowser kidnaps her so that she can make some cake for him instead. Only now he's 500 feet tall and Emperor of the Universe, so she'd better make sure her cake is spread quite wide. Needless to say, this is the same plot as Mario Galaxy 1 with zero acknowledgement of continuity. No little mushroom person at any point says, didn't this exact same thing happen not however long ago? Say, did anyone remember to press charges on Bowser last time he pulled this, put him in prison or something? What exactly was stopping him turning around and pulling the same shit the moment Mario and the princess were distracted with each other's cakes? See, people, this is why we need to introduce a constitutional monarchy. Wark, wark. Okay, so Bowser kidnapping the princess is sort of traditional, like hanging, drawing and quartering. And when Mario Galaxy 1 did it, I figured, well, fair enough, they're introducing the concept to all the new audience of casual gamer shitheads that the Wii suckered in, each of which I'm prepared to personally seal away in some kind of medieval oubliette, but whatever, we play the cards we're dealt. But Mario Galaxy 2 doesn't have that excuse. It seems reasonable to me that the chief audience for Galaxy 2 is people who played Galaxy 1, but the game seems to assume that you didn't, or at least it sincerely hopes you didn't. Mario himself seems confused on the Wii menu. Super Mario Galaxy! He shrieks, omitting the incremental digit. Exactly how stupid does Nintendo think people are? To find an answer to that question, I feel I should point out that as well as a manual, the game box also contains a separate piece of paper reiterating the the controls with the large colourful visual aids, and a DVD in which the controls are cooed a third time by a woman with the same patient motherly voice she'd used to potty train a brain-damaged two-year-old, and a big glossy photograph of the Wii console itself, as if to say, put it in this! Moving on from Nintendo's no-drooling mongoloid left behind policy, Mario Galaxy 1's hub world has been replaced by a spaceship in the shape of Mario's head, the space-going equivalent of personalised number plates. And you just know from looking at him, Mario's the kind of asshole who overtakes on the hard shoulder. Anyway, Starship Narcissus is where Mario keeps the characters he meets on his travels, as some sick collection of living trophies, and there are some extra lives and pickups that respawn each time you return. So if, like me, you're completely psychotic, then after every level you have to run around collecting them all again so everything can be neat and tidy. From the crown of Mario's giant spacefaring ego, you can then access the map screen. What is it with Wii games and map screens lately? It's like every Wii developer struggling to squeeze respectable gaming experiences into the Wii processor limitations woke up one morning saying, hey, we could just do that thing the NES did that's one step up from picking from a drop-down menu and not have to do as much work. God help us if anyone shows them a text adventure. I shouldn't even have to talk about the core gameplay. I consider it an insult to you and me. My review of Mario Galaxy 1 hasn't gone anywhere. Why not pause this video, pour yourself a glass of wine, and go and enjoy that. I'll just wait here, slapping myself in the face until you return. Finished? Right. Well, Mario Galaxy 2 is more of that. More jumping around on things and more wankers crammed from all the Wiimote shaking. They did add Yoshi now, though, so the major bold new addition to the formula is an idea from 1990. And there are new power-ups based on becoming a cloud and a rock, both ideas I assume were acquired by looking out of a window during a dull brainstorming meeting. This is something we used to call an expansion pack, and which Nintendo apparently calls ka-ching. Several bosses and encounters are copied wholesale in the noble cause of knocking off work early, but the individual level designs are different, although get stunlocked down one bottomless pit, been stunlocked down them all. And when I say different, I mean different to Mario Galaxy 1, for there is one level that is a bold-facedly copied, open quotes, tribute to a level from Mario 64, which indicates two things. A, Mario 64 definitely hasn't aged well, and B, that dull brainstorming meeting must have run out of snacks at some point. I guess the fanbase will get the franchise it deserves, but is this really all you want? Yes, there are games I like, games I love. Do I want to play a new installment of the same thing every few years? No! The fastest way to spoil your pleasures is to make them routine. Variety is the spice of life, and status quo is the starch. The star that shines brightest is all the more glorious for its brevity. Or to bring this metaphor down to a broader cultural level, The Simpsons has been running for 21 seasons and hasn't been good since the fifth. I would rather see things evolve. Before any defenders of motion controllers get in touch, evolve in ways that aren't stupid. You know what, Mario fans? You want to stay tucked up in your little comfort zone, playing the same game, ordering the same pizza every night till you're on first name terms with all the delivery boys? That doesn't bother me. I'll even admit that Galaxy 2 is fun, but you have to do something for me in return. I want you to go out this weekend and do something you've never done before. Go skydiving, get drunk at a football match and glass someone, meet a nice member of the opposite sex and invite them out for some cake.
Hey, boys and girls, it's time for Uncle Jay Explains the News. Now here's the guy who helps little minds understand big news stories, Uncle Jay.
Hi, boys and girls. I want to start by warning you that this week, even if the oil spill gets completely fixed, even if the economy completely recovers, even if Osama bin Laden surrenders, even if Iran and Israel have a cookout together and serve ribs, even if all that happens, the media probably won't have any time available to cover it. Well, Uncle Jay's news word for this week is amends. Mostly this means saying you're sorry for, being late or telling a lie or making a shoreline uninhabitable for 25 years. The news has some of the sorriest people ever. BP, of course, is sorry about everything, and they promise to honor all legitimate claims. Levi Johnston is sorry he said all those bad things about his baby grandmama. He and Bristol haven't announced their wedding date yet, but their divorce date will be November 7th, 2012. Apple is very sorry that their new iPhone every now and then works. It should work more often than that. Mel Gibson probably wishes he had used an iPhone. You know, Mel already has a lot of what they call apology equity, and he can make amends in a couple of ways, really. He could make a sequel to his own movie and explore the history of apology, or he could make a TV commercial like Tiger Woods did that looks like an apology without actually being one, or he could make a commercial that uses his sex appeal more directly. Hello, ladies. Well, how else do people on the news make amends? The options keep changing. People used to go on TV shows like Oprah and Larry King. Larry's ratings are down, though, even though he tried very hard to appeal to a younger demographic. So he's retiring, and Oprah is moving on, too. Another meaning of is to add extra stuff to something. For instance, the new financial reform bill. Congress only approved it after adding a bunch of amendments. They're very good at adding, not so much at subtracting. But voters are eager to help them with that in November. And now it's time to answer one of your news questions. This week it comes from Rex in Menlo Park, California. Hi, Rex. Rex writes, Dear Uncle Jay, why didn't BP just make giant walls and then use a giant vacuum to suck up the water and then a big filter that separated out all the gunk? Thanks, Rex. Well, actually, BP is making progress with their current strategy. After trying things like the junk shot and the top hat and the cabbage patch and the super soaker and the Grand Slam breakfast. But Rex, you might want to send that idea about high walls and a big vacuum and a giant filter to both sides in the Middle East. Don't forget, you can see more at www.UncleJayExplains.com. Check back every Monday when Uncle Jay explains the news. And remember, a great kid is great news.
It would help to have the microphone down, wouldn't it? We have the Bozo Criminal of the Day. Thanks to Bozo News Talk, Glenn Snow, who I swear I've read from before, for signing in today's report from Cinnaminson. Nice name, New Jersey. Comes the story of Bozo Richard Hardy, who was arrested on shoplifting charges. He was locked up for having two outstanding warrants before paying his $400 bail in cash. After he left the facility, police discovered the money he used to pay his bill was counterfeit. Oh, that was neat. As our Bozo was enjoying his freedom, he started thinking he has been overcharged. He was quite sure that his bail should have been set at $200 instead of $400 he was charged. Yeah, I can see this coming. So he did what any Bozo would do. He returned to the police station and asked for his $200 back. The $200 he had paid in bogus bills. Bad idea, he's now been charged with counterfeiting. At the moment they just said that he did what most Bozos do, I could see it and probably so could you.
Well, let me think about it. If, as an apparently non-corporeal universal concept, I can think.
And we have the thought of the day from Franklin P. Jones. Cross your bridges before you come to them and you have to pay the toll twice. Oh yeah, don't want to pay twice. I'm setting up the Podomatic thing now. See, the problem is,
here's a little number I wrote the other day.
I was gone 2 weeks, so I'm trying to get it for 2 weeks. I've dropped a lot of ranks.
Fuck you very
much. I guess that's to be expected because I didn't update anything.
Fuck you very much for finding me.
I'm trying to get a road from where my listener is. I don't think I'll be able to pronounce it even if I do get it.
Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So fuck you very much, the FCC.
Okay.
For proving
well,
that free speech just isn't free.
Sao Paulo.
Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much
there
as all
go.
The drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So fuck you very much.
We've got two more.
So I'll just
kind of ho-hum the way through this, because one of them is counting up China. That always takes a minute.
Or Halliburton, Enron,
so
all the companies who fail. Let's
Monday
send
nights.
Them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail.
Hold on the phone, we've actually got,
so
going 2 weeks,
so
we've actually got somebody
so
in China as our most downloaded.
Fuck
somebody
you
in Germany.
You do. Your pacemaker must be a fake.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody who has a little bit more.
As far as
but
I'm
trying to.
You're just a pasty
trying to get
so, far,
so much anyway. I'm trying to go on the side of China.
So fuck you all so very much.
Little
so
town beginning
much,
with a V.
EPA,
it's like,
for giving all Alaska's oil away. It really is a bummer when I can't fill my Hummer. The ozone's a no-go zone now that Arnold's here to say
the nuclear winter games are going to take place in L.A.
So fuck you all so very much.
So
once the planet fails, let's save the great white males and fuck you all so very much. Quack.
Okay, I'm assuming that's Mucin. It's in between. We'll just put between because I can't really pin it on one. Between Mucin, and I don't have that little thing. I don't know where to get that little thing. And Vaterstetten. Germany. Yeah, this won't be a very... wrong point. Nobody was there this week. I have another little person who always downloads. I should put him in there, but I'm not going to do it this week. One thing, I was cleaning up my hard drive. I'll talk about this while I'm doing this. And I deleted my Doctor Who torrent that I was just finishing up downloading. It was like a 13 or something gig. But it was all of Season 7. The season of the Seventh Doctor. You can jump. There you go. You ain't that heavy anymore. Okay, 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. 213. Yes, 206 for Beijing. 215, 16, 220, 222, 23, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Hey, my food. You're on a diet. I'm not. Yes. God damn it, now I gotta do this over again. 3, 4, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 28, 29, hello, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 42, 46, 47, 49, 50, 52, 54, 56, no, 54, 55, 60, 67, 68, is there anything out over here? I will count him. So 200... Whoa! Hello. Most downloads country is done. So, here are the podcast notes. If Maggie here is my... Excuse me. It's my little co-host, whether I want her or not. So, for 2 weeks, sorry about the dead air, she is being very insistent because she knows I have food, and she's diabetic, so she has a schedule now, and she can't eat food, but she wants mine. So, random listener in the U.S. is on Lake Road in Lena, Wisconsin, with one download. International is R. Pariba in Sao Paulo, Brazil, with one. Total downloads for the 2 weeks, 454. U.S., come on, guys. There were only 12. Single country, most downloads country, China. Most downloads single, in the U.S., Montford Road in Maxton, North Carolina, was 6th. Most downloads single, international, between Muchen and Feiterstenden, Germany, with 23. And Podomatic rank is 1,036. We've got a lot of climbing to do, but I know I can do it. So, and you are just... You're not making this easy. Ow, cat. Hello. Maybe I should just have Dad come get you. You think so? I think that'd be a good idea, actually. Because I'm not going to be able to talk now, am I? And you're getting me all covered in fur. She is. She's doing this thing that cats do when you refuse to pet them. They just kind of shove their head against you and do it themselves. So it's like, yes, girl, I love you. Would you stop that? Hello. You are a pain in the rump. You know that, don't you? Hello. You are going to let me do something here, aren't you? Because I'm kind of busy right now. I guess this is going to be a short show because I cannot get to my laptop to do anything. When I put my hand down on my laptop keyboard, her head's right there and she starts shoving her head against it. And, of course, it screws me up. I cannot do anything then. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to be typing one-handed here, and it won't be for a pleasant reason, so excuse me here. God, if they can't hear you, I'll be very surprised. You are very loud right now. Maggie wanting attention. Maggie is my parents' cat. A very lovely cat, especially now that she's lost a lot of weight. She used to be one of those really, you know, the cats that people hold up that are really fat. You know, they just look like they're almost all fur. That's what she was like. But she actually looks like a cat now. Yes, you do. You'd better be able to hear her now, folks. She's literally purring right into my microphone. You're... Yep. Hello. Now she's sitting on my stomach. So I can't see the keyboard at all. And putting her nose in my mouth. That's such a pleasant feeling, believe me. But am I going to get rid of you? I got a show to do. I need to get rid of you. And you're sitting... You dweeb. Okay, while she's gone, no. Whoops. Hey, move it. We're going to talk about language today. And to start us off, we're going to have Foamy with the FCC. Referral Communication Commission versus the FCC of the Foamy Card Cult. So, we'll play that, and then we'll get into today's topic. And I got this off of Amazon, so I'll link to it. If you want it, you can go and grab it. And, God... Things are playing, and I didn't notice it, so you've already heard it. Well, I'll hear it again. That's what you get for having Maggie interrupt me. So, here we
go. Okay, you know, when the FCC started cracking down on some of the more derogatory-type language on network TV, I was like, fine, it's network TV. Kids are watching, and maybe they should clean things up to a certain extent. Now, all of a sudden, it's spreading for cable. Can't have bad language! Don't want to offend the ears! Boo! Hoo! Well now, in response to this constriction of language, I, Foamy, leader of the Foamy Card Cult, will now prove a point by speaking a series of sentences that will not contain one curse word, but will certainly be more offensive than those dirty words certain folks don't want you to hear. So, instead of using the F word to offend somebody, how about I would like to slice open your baby's stomach and take out its kidneys, and then stuff it right back down its throat while watching it bleed to death. Then I'd like to hang it up on a meat hook on your front porch and watch the flies pick at its rotting skull. See, not only is this series of words beyond offensive, but I didn't have to use one curse word. Now I'll give you all a few moments to stop puking. Better? Good. See, we here at the FCC, or Foamy Card Cult, know that being offensive goes far beyond saying the S word to describe human feces. So go on, Mr. and Mrs. FCC, try to control our language by taking away our little swear words. We here at the Foamy Card Cult will continue to corrupt minds through the clever construction of clean words. And if you don't like it, we can always tie you up and hammer nails into your genitals. And for you women out there laughing, spread them wide, because there's a large baseball bat with rusty razors sticking out of it, ready to be inserted into areas not meant to be ventured. And after that, we'll reinsert that rotting baby right back where it came from and sew you right back up. See? Not one curse word. I think I've made my point.
And I think he has, too. I mean, that was something that I had not come across. I just happened to click a link that I have. I searched for Foamy on MP3 downloads, and I saved it because I knew at some point I'd want some of them. And it was just going through it, and it had the intro to the one that is off of. Let me see which one that's off of here. Rants for the Masses. And I looked at it, I'm like, okay, so I clicked on it, and I happened to find that. So, it was really cool to be able to find that. And the cool thing is, he's right. He did not use one curse word. Granted, it was more than he didn't need to. I think that was the whole thing, is it wasn't that he didn't use the curse word, it's that he offended people without using them. So, This is just something. I mean, we kind of covered this on Finite Exposure and whatnot, where people were talking about words that they shouldn't say, and I almost got backhanded because I said one word I say is nigger, and that's not the version people are thinking. The version that I understood is that is somebody, no matter what gender, no matter what not, that just think of somebody who just would rather sit around, do nothing, collect a check, and let everybody do all the work for them. That's what our definition was. It wasn't some, you know, race or skin-based thing. It was production. It was how active you were. You know, how much you contributed. And I think that's actually a better one myself, but I know some people will say, well, you shouldn't use it at all. Well, okay, if nothing else, consider it us trying to go and take a word back that really, I mean, granted, it's, you can sit and say, well, you don't need it, that word back. Well, no, we probably don't. But that's not the point. The point is, excuse me, the point is that we just don't need, you know, we don't need to leave certain words alone because nobody likes them. Well, tough if you don't like them. I like it, you know. I don't like it in a lot of the ways that people do, but I think it's a word that gets the point across. When I want to get somebody's attention, I use it. So, you know, you can't tell me that other people don't do the same. So, that's just, I know, I could rant into that a lot more, but just really with things being how they are today, and Maggie especially messing me up, I'm really just trying to close this out. But I made it to an hour. Like I said, this is probably going to happen now for a while, until I can get off of vacation and get back into the two-hour thing, or I may just keep it an hour. And if you want to hear more than an hour, go listen to Finite Exposure. There's only two episodes up right now. Actually, I think there's three. We did another one. I did post it, but he hasn't downloaded it yet. So I'm going to get in touch with him and see what's going on, because he didn't do one last week either. Of course, he also, Chaos also got bit by something, and his foot's swollen up really bad. So I don't know what, how well he can. He may do one this week just because he has no way to do anything else. But hopefully that will be updated, at least with the one that we did before I left, because the one I did before we left was just really cool. You gotta hear it. So I will leave that with you guys, and here is, you heard it in the background while I was talking, it's Eric Idle's FCC song. Take care.
Here's a little number I wrote the other day while out duck hunting with a judge.
Quack.
Fuck you very much, the FCC. Fuck you very much for fining me. $5,000 a fuck, so I'm really out of luck. That's more than Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So fuck you very much, the FCC, for proving that free speech just isn't free. Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much as all the drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, dear Mr. Bush, for heroically sitting on your tush. For Halliburton, Enron, all the companies who fail, let's send them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail. She's an uppity rich bitch, and at least she isn't male. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you, dickhead Mr. Cheney too. Fuck you and fuck everything you do. Your pacemaker must be a fake, you haven't got a heart. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a pasty-faced old fart. And as for Condoleezza, she's an intellectual tart. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, the EPA, for giving all Alaska's oil away. It really is a bummer when I can't fill my Hummer. The ozone's a no-go zone now that Arnold's here to say
the nuclear winter games are going to take place in L.A.
So fuck you all so very much. So what, the planet fails? Let's save the great white males. And fuck you all so very much.
Quack.
It's a beautiful night out there, isn't it, boys and girls? I haven't seen a night quite like this in 100 years. In fact, this is no night to be inside. Let's turn off our radios.